Hello and welcome to the Lifetime Athlete. I'm your host, John Zombro, and if you're a regular listener, you know that I am a human peak performance coach and physical therapist, and when I'm not coaching clients, I speak and write about the things we can do to be our best selves in health, fitness, and life. It's my belief that everyone is and can be an athlete for life, and it's my goal to help you embrace and celebrate your inner athlete. Today's show is a brief solo-sode, or sometimes what I call R-cubed, as in rant, rave, and ramble. But this episode's probably more of a review or reiteration. That would be R to the fifth. because I just want to offer some tips for training as we all move into the winter season. The winter season certainly looks different depending on where you live, and it's also affected by the sports and fitness activities which you pursue during that time frame. But from late November to early February here in the United States, we typically have shorter days or decreased periods of daylight and cooler or colder temperatures. So Florida will be different from Minnesota, or Arizona will be different from Maine, as they have varying degrees of the expression of winter, but the thing that's consistent is the shorter, darker, cooler trend will still be existing. And so therefore, we can say that it's winter everywhere to some degree. So first, let's talk about circadian biology. Our metabolic patterns and our biological existence, for the most part, is tied to the sun, or our metabolic patterns are tied to the sun. And so we are, as human organisms, as beasts on this earth, as mammals, we are diurnal, or we're basically designed to function and operate during the daylight hours and rest and sleep during the night. What I would say about training is that in the winter, performing your training during the daylight hours may be more ideal, slightly more ideal. And trying to move workout times to allow for that could be helpful, again, if you can do it. So training during the daylight naturally is what the body wants to do. And so we have to be a little bit careful about training in the darkness, in the pre-dawn hours or in the later evening, because that can disrupt our circadian biology and our sleep patterns, and ultimately, potentially, our health and performance. So also regarding this circadian biology, we are genetically wired to sleep a bit more in the winter. And this is well supported in the research that humans will typically sleep as much as an hour and a half or a full sleep cycle longer in the dead of winter than in the peak of summer, or at the two opposing summer and winter solstices. I don't think that's solstice. I think it's solstices, but forgive me if I butchered that one. And you may feel in the wintertime a natural urge, which we can call sleep drive, and that's a mechanism that's known, you know, every evening as our melatonin begins to rise, we feel that urge to go to bed. But in the wintertime, our overall sleep drive is to go to bed earlier and perhaps rise a bit later when possible. So my suggestion is don't fight that. This is a natural restoration process, and it is seasonal, and it may be linked to not just performance, but according to several studies, longevity as well. So in other words, getting enough sleep, but getting your extra sleep in the winter can help you add to this wonderful lifespan that we're all enjoying, or hopefully so. I'm going to take a quick coffee break here. Pardon the slurp. Actually, I was able to do it without making too much noise. So the next thing we think about winter and training is 'tis the season, as in it is the holiday season. Social and work events, parties, and other obligations and celebrations exist. So we may want to be flexible. You may try to fit in your workouts where you can and don't stress about it. Be moderately consistent and don't practice self-loathing. So the message here is simply realize that there's a lot going on, and sometimes you have to move your training a bit. And then also on occasion, you just might not fit it in, and that's okay. You're still a great person. And this may actually be kind of in the design of winter anyway. So that's a great way of framing that. Concerning biology, winter would have historically correlated in an athletic training model with the postseason. So very quickly, I would just say we oftentimes divide the year into seasons athletically, and so we have an off-season where we're building, a pre-season where we're sharpening, a peak season or in-season where we're performing, and then ultimately a postseason where we are recovering. And so when we look at the weather seasons of winter, spring, summer, and fall, we have a great correlation between winter and postseason as we look at human history. This might actually be the best time to do less, in a sense, and semi-hibernate. Postseason is for casual training, an emphasis on recovery, and a down-regulation of intense or goal-driven practices. Now, this doesn't have to be taken to extremes, and if you play a winter sport, whether it's basketball, hockey, skiing, or anything else, that might indeed be your peak season. And there's a way to work with that as well. The main thing is to get more sleep. Not just enough, get more. And this is especially true if you're dealing with court or ice time at night under bright artificial lighting. That can have deleterious effects. And so one of the things we, if we're gonna live in this modern world and we're gonna contort our ancestral patterning, well, we can actually try to preload or front load more sleep to offset those issues. And this may be a slight compromise, but it is what it is. And so consider some strategic napping and schedule shifting where you can, if that's possible. And, you know, probably just the last thing to say about that, if we're looking at winter as the postseason, but we're accepting that that's not true for everyone. Take NBA players, for example, 82 games in a season. Most of them played at night, sometimes fairly late. Also, all the travel, all the planes, all the hotels. That's a lifestyle that is not conducive to health, even though they're performing so high athletically. Well, what you see is when those athletes retire, they don't continue that pattern. Maybe they get a bit lucky because they're young and they can weather that. And of course, that's many times a wonderful livelihood for those individuals. But the point being here is, just because we have some patterns in society that exist, it doesn't mean that they're optimal. And so let's try to think about that with an open mind, and don't shoot the messenger here, but winter probably should be postseason for most of us. Now, when you're doing your workouts, one great winter training tip is make your workouts a little briefer. Winter is essentially a time to conserve energy, and long-duration workouts may not be entirely consistent with our seasonal physiology. Think about it this way. In our ancestral past, big depletion, you know, in other words, you know, the long grind, in a season of colder temperatures, probably limited food supply, would have been risky. And so we're actually programmed to not really go to the well too deeply in the winter. So use your best judgment, but that's definitely a pattern that I've seen work for many people, is to briefen up their workouts in the winter. And one of the great things about short workouts is that they're easy to approach and complete. They can fit in well with all this dynamic holiday stuff, and you don't have to do major rearranging of your life or get frustrated because you can't find the time to perform a mega sesh when you have a micro workout. Also, here's another, I think, really valuable winter training tip. Make your workouts a bit less intense. For all of you motivated folks out there, I'm guessing you might have been thinking, well, if I shouldn't train for as long, I'll just go harder. So I've got some things to say about that as soon as I have another coffee break. Wonderful today. So yes, absolutely. Brief, intense training is both fun and effective, and I highly recommend it, that in most cases it finds a way into your training program. But, and this is a big but, like if you use my program Operation Booty Jack to develop your buttock. Oh, by the way, just type it into the search bar on the lifetimeathlete.com. It's a free training program, and I think you'll get a lot out of it. But back to the topic. I'm just saying you may want to back off a tad. Come down a notch or two on your intensity during this winter training time. Have the patience and the confidence that doing such a practice can cause you to have a ramping up of energy in the spring as that light begins to lengthen. It's a natural process. It's amazing, and I've seen this concept work both ways. People who cruised moderately in their winter training, doing many of the things that we've just discussed, at least in the darkest, coldest period, tended to have these powerful, goal-crushing springs and summers, as long as they were, you know, training appropriately through those times, as they flowed with the natural cycles of mammalian physiology. On the other hand, those that went all out in winter usually had subpar long-term outcomes, burnout, and injury. It does depend, but just give that some consideration, making your workout slightly less intense in the winter for the most part. Now, the next thing I want to say is in the food realm or the dietary or nutritional support that our training requires, and you may want to give ketogenic dieting and fasting a try during this time of year. Here's why. Well, I realize this can scare people off, and at first it might seem inconsistent with all the traditions of holiday meals and treats that we have, but in reality, there's a way to enjoy all the celebrating and use some science and common sense and not go overboard. Again, using an ancestral model, if we look at it this way, during the winter or times of energy conservation, having more sleep and less food availability were a fairly consistent theme in the winter. So this is particularly true the higher in latitude and further from the equator that a human population exists. And it's also worth giving some thought to your specific ancestry, because your genes may actually be more well suited to a ketogenic winter, if you don't mind my saying. We're actually wired as humans to crave and pound fruit and carbs in the summer and early fall, as this was a time when, A, those foods were ripening and typically available, and we actually used them as a surplus energy source to put on weight and survive the winter. Now we don't have to do that anymore. We've artificially changed the situation, so we don't quite have the famine that winter always brought, but we unfortunately have those foods available all the time, 24/7 around the corner. And that's not consistent with our genes, which are still existing in those more primal conditions. So my advice is to experiment and be safe always. But you're really not going to hurt yourself if you try restricting your carbohydrate intake and consuming a bit more healthy fat and protein. Do this for a while, let's say 3 or 4 weeks, until your metabolism adapts. And essentially what happens is a switch is flipped back on for you to be more efficient at accessing and burning your stored body fat for fuel. So sometimes this is called metabolic fat adaptation. If you take it far enough, your body starts to become very efficient at producing and utilizing ketones, or you become keto adapted if you want to be cool and trendy. Although that's not new, it's actually part of our primal patterning. So don't necessarily restrict calories, but try eating 2 substantial meals in a shorter time frame or window in the day while the sky is light. That's also another one of these circadian tips, and I won't call it a hack because I hate that word. So then at some point this winter, after you've done that fat adaptation process, when you don't have a lot of stress or travel or social events, try a 3-day fast. Drink lots of water and get some salt, because we need sodium, 5 to 10 grams of it, believe it or not, in a case like that. And that's where you can kind of offset some of the negative impacts of your fast. Maybe some black coffee or tea if you're a regular user and you don't want to go through a withdrawal symptom, like me, and nothing else. And if you did the fat and keto adaptation process correctly, you won't have much in the way of hunger, cravings, crashes, or problems. You'll feel fine, and you'll feel, you know, probably more mental clarity and calmness and all the things that go with this. But what you're really going to get is some powerful metabolic resets. You're going to undergo a cellular cleanup process known as autophagy, and some mitochondrial or energy powerhouses within your cells growth known as mitochondrial biogenesis. And all those things are unique to doing this. And it can also make your appreciation for food, dining, celebration, and the good fortune that we have in this life more pronounced. And lastly, this comes up a lot, but I'll lose all my muscle mass. Well, no, you won't if you do it the way we described. First of all, we're only talking about a three-day water fast, so it's not exceedingly prolonged. But if that body is fat adapted, it will simply have a protein-sparing mechanism, save your muscle, and it will use fat for fuel almost entirely. Now, if you didn't do that, and this is what gives fasting such a bad rap, and you cold turkeyed it, and you came off a sugar-burning, high-carb, carbohydrate-dependent diet, your body doesn't have access to those fat stores, so what it's going to do is break down muscle protein, convert that to glucose through a process known as gluconeogenesis. So we can avoid that, again, if we do the thing that I described there. Probably enough said, but I'd highly recommend exploring a keto winter with a small fast in it, and you may be surprised, amazed at the results. So here's a quick summary. Train during the daylight hours whenever possible, and be flexible with the times. Don't worry about a few missed sessions in the winter. Keep your workouts brief and not too intense. Work on technique and mobility and stability, and keep your conditioning in a light maintenance phase. Prioritize sleep. This should be true all year long, but it's perhaps even more important in the winter. And experiment with your diet. Consider reducing your carbohydrate intake, trying a ketogenic pattern for a month or two, and maybe even doing a little fasting. I really hope these tips help you to enjoy your winter training and use it as a foundation from which to build and escalate your peak performance results. Thanks for being with me today. And if you're enjoying this content, please give it a rating, hopefully 5 stars, and review wherever you listen to the show. And if you'd like to work with me in a coaching capacity toward your own peak performance goals, ping me at thelifetimeathlete.com. Have a great day.